That the spirits are subject unto you.
Amen.
But rather rejoice because your names are written in
heaven.
He says, he didn't say, when they come and say, Lord, look at that, what's happening to us. I mean, look what we can do. We're preaching and people, I mean, all kinds of things are happening. I can't believe we've got this kind of power. And you know, he says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven.
Yes.
So you got that kind of power. You can lose it. What's there to rejoice about that? Satan was the most powerful thing that ever was created. He was the most beautiful thing ever created. He was the wisest of all God's creatures, it says so. He was invulnerable from the outside. It says so. We were looking at the other day. He was the Leviathan. There was not even a little ounce, a molecule of air between his scales. No dart could pierce it. No cannon shell could pierce it. I mean, there's no atomic bomb today that could pierce his armor. Invulnerable. And yet he fell.
Yes.
He was rejoicing in himself. It says right over there. He was lifted up because of his beauty. It says he was lifted up because of his riches. He was lifted up because of all the things that he had. He was lifted up and he fell. He said, don't rejoice in the power. Don't you understand? Don't you understand the immense reasons that Satan had to rejoice? If that's something to rejoice about. And yet Jesus says, don't you rejoice in that. He didn't say, look, I got something better to rejoice about. He said, yeah, that's great, but there's something better. He said, no, in this rejoice not.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
So he says, in this, rejoice not. That is something that the devils are subject unto you. Well, so what? What if the devils aren't subject unto you? Your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
You know how big of a statement that is. I mean, the devil was in heaven, but his name wasn't written there.
Amen.
His name wasn't carved out into the stone up there in the clouds or whatever you want to say. His name wasn't up there. That's why he fell. But we're not up there, and we don't have his power, but our names are written there. They're not going to be taken away. They're written up there. And what is written, nobody's going to erase up there.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he has written your names up there, and that's reason to rejoice.
Amen.
Now, then you stop and think, if you're rejoicing, is in the fact that your names are up there, and all the promises in Christ are yay and amen of them. Yeah, all of those things. If you rejoice in these things, it cannot be changed. Cannot be taken away from you.
Right.
But then what happens?
You always rejoice.
So you lose your power. So you're a preacher, and you love to preach, and you lose your voice. So you're a football player and you can't walk no more. Well, big deal. My name is written in heaven.
Amen.
You know, I used to preach. And I mean, the devils would come out and they'd run. I mean, all kinds of things was happening, but it ain't happening no more. What's that have to do with it? I never rejoiced in that in the first place. And I can still rejoice because all the things that are important are still the same.
That's right.
That's still the same. That soul that on Jesus had leaned for repose, I will not desert
you. That's right.
That soul that all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake.
Praise
Amen. Now, isn't that a promise?
Amen.
He says, in this rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you. Rejoice. He says, rejoice. I'll tell you what to rejoice about, that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
The devil fell and you can't fall.
Amen.
That is wonderful. The devil himself fell. All the angels that kept following him, they fell too. And how many thousands before you have tried and they fell too? But your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Number 260. Number 260.
My name is written there.
Savior is sufficient for me.
Amen.
For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow.
Amen.
You know, I think one of our promises that we don't really realize what the Lord's done for us. We have too light a concept of sin.
Mm-hmm.
We really think we're not all that bad.
Right.
That the Lord, you know, didn't have to do an awful lot of washing to make us clean. But you know what? We're as rotten as we can be.
Amen.
We really are. We could not be any worse as far as the quality of our life was concerned. It says that in Isaiah, if you want to look in Isaiah 64, verse 6, why don't you look at that? Isaiah 64, verse 6. We're thinking about Thanksgiving and rejoicing, but you know, sometimes before we can rejoice in what we have to realize what we used to be.
Amen.
Isaiah 64, verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now most of us read that verse and we think that all of our bad works are like filthy rags. But it doesn't say that. It says that we, all of us, are an unclean thing.
Yeah, amen.
And you know, you can't get a clean thing out of an unclean thing. I don't ever intend to gross anybody out, but I try to make it plain so people understand. And so when I'm talking to people down there, I say, you know, when you want a drink of water, you don't go to the commode. Now, the water may look just as clean in the commode as it does coming out of the faucet, but you don't go to the commode to get a drink of water. Why? Because it's an unclean thing.
Yeah, amen.
That's plain. But you know, out of a man that's unsaved, he's just like the commode. It's an unclean thing. It doesn't mean what he does. And so all of our righteousness, that's what it says, all of our righteousness, all of our good works, anything that comes from us is as filthy rags. I mean, it's there's nothing in us. And so when we think about our salvation, you know, it wasn't a small thing that the Lord Jesus did.
Amen.
He washed it white as snow.
Amen.
Most of us have an idea that we were just a sort of a tinge of gray, maybe. But no, we were rotten as we could be. We were terrible. We were filthy. We were undone. And you know, until we really recognize what God, the Lord Jesus did for us, we can't really rejoice in our salvation. And you know, one of the problems is, it's not what we do so much as it's what we are. Now, that, I think that the biggest problem we have in preaching the gospel is that people think that that being lost has to do with what people do. They're not as bad as somebody else, and so therefore they're not as lost as someone else. I mean, they're pretty good people, and so therefore they don't need an awful lot to get them saved. But you know, the trouble is that that's not what damns people, what
that's
we
right.
do, but what we are.
That's right.
What we are is what damns us. And so we were all the same. There wasn't any difference. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that there's no difference.
Amen.
That there's none righteous, no, not
Amen.
One.
Amen. Amen.
There's none that seeketh after God. You know, every once in a while you run across somebody says, you know, I'm seeking God. Well, if they're seeking God, it's only because God is drawing them.
Yeah.
In themselves, the Bible says that no man seeketh after God.
Right.
That'd be like a guy breaking in the bank and calling the police before he left. Say, I'm going to go break in the bank. I want you to meet me there. Nobody's seeking for God because we're all living such ungodly lives. None of us want to encounter the judge of all the earth.
Yeah, amen.
So, the trouble is that men have to recognize before they ever be saved that the reason they're lost is not because they drink or smoke or cuss. Because their lives are filthy. They are an unclean thing in God's eyes. And therefore, nothing good can come out of that unclean thing. And you know, we were just like that. We have to remember. Some of us have been saved a long time, and we may have a hard time remembering back before we were saved. Some of you don't have that hard of time. Some of you don't have to go back very far to remember what it was like, but then it doesn't make any difference. Whether we have been saved a long time or not, it was the same precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Had to
Thank you,
pay the price
Jesus.
For what we were.
Thank
not
you.
For what we did so much, but for what we were.
Thank
you know, we've been transformed. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and
Amen.
Been translated into the kingdom of
Amen.
His dear Son.
Praise
Isn't that
Lord.
Marvelous?
Amen.
All because of the blood.
Amen.
Precious blood.
You know, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. The most deceitful thing about you is your heart.
Yeah.
And the heart is what you justify yourself with. And then
that's right.
You say, well, my heart's right in it. It's probably not. Remember, your heart's deceiving. You just your heart just makes you think you're right in this thing. And Spurgeon had an illustration. I've thought about it many, many a time. He said the heart of sin is like an anvil. And temptation is like the hammer that strikes the anvil. Now we see some places where temptation hits quite often, we see a lot of sparks. We see a lot of sparks. Other places where the temptation hasn't hit so often, we only see a few sparks. But that has nothing to do with how many sparks are in the anvil.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because that anvil would wear out hundreds, maybe even thousands of hammers.
Yeah.
And continue to give off the sparks of sin. So it is like with our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. Before God Almighty, we are continually selfish, self-centered.
Yeah.
We're filled with sin. Maybe we look down the road and we see some fellow and we see an awful lot of sparks.
And we think, look how bad that fella is. Well, the anvil has been hit many times with a hammer, and you see the sparks that have flown, and maybe the hammers have been worn out. Maybe you haven't had the same temptation, walked in the same road, been in his shoes, been in his problem, or dropped into sin some way, whatever. At any rate, maybe you haven't had as many sparks fly off your anvil yet, but it doesn't mean you have less sin in yours. That there are less sparks in your anvil doesn't mean it at all.
Amen.
Because if we put the right hammer to it and struck it over and over again, we could wear out hammer after hammer, and you'd still see the sparks flying. And so it is with the sinfulness of our heart. You know, I thought of that with what you had to say, but turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. There are about 5 verses I want to read to you this morning.
Amen.
I don't think I'm going to get all the thankfulness out of Thessalonians either this morning.
Amen.
I think I could keep striking the hammer on the anvil of Thessalonians and keep getting Thanksgiving things, but I've got several that were a blessing to me. Now here, we've been going since Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, and here it is Friday morning, we're in the fourth meeting of just giving thanks and praising God. And I'm not running out of anything. I'll tell you what, I still got plenty of things to thank God for. I thank Him for my salvation time and time again, and I'll do so again, because you know, Billy, I keep going back to that. I just keep going back to that over and over and over again. Year after year, it's been 30 years, I'm still thankful my name's written in heaven.
Amen.
I tell you, most important thing, my name's written in heaven. Everything else can fly away. I mean, my family can disappear tomorrow. The church can disappear tomorrow. This country can disappear tomorrow. Our health, our strength, our minds can all be gone tomorrow. But praise God, my name written in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I just got a blessing out of the way Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Do you reckon there must have been a pretty good church there?
Yes.
I sort of think there was a pretty good church in Thessalonica. At any rate, look at verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you.
Amen.
For your sake. You know, I want to give thanks for the church right here.
Amen.
I really do. I want to.
Amen.
And I want to give thanks, and I want to say that I do give thanks continually because of your work of faith.
Amen.
Labor of love. I praise God for the labor that goes out. I praise God for the physical work's been done around here. I praise God for the physical work done every here every day for us to eat, and every week for us to take care of our children and preach the gospel. But I thank God for the spiritual work. I thank God for the prayers that are going out.
Amen.
I thank God for the witnesses that are going out. I thank God that I can't keep enough tracks around this place to keep them going. They just always come to buy some more tracks. I want some more of this kind. I want some more of that kind. I said, well, use some of these others. Well, I like the other kind better. You know, they always want some more tracks, you know. We just can't keep enough of them going out. I thank God for the missionaries that are going out here.
Amen.
Brother, that's a work of faith and a labor of love. Well, we ought to be praising God.
Amen.
Listen, there are churches all over this country with some saved people in there, dead as a doornail. There are churches all around. You've got saved people in them. They don't even know how to witness. Thousands that don't even know how. Nobody's ever taught them how to lead a soul to Christ. There are born-again Christians going down the road this day, right now, that would not know how to lead their own brother or their mother, their father, or their son or their daughter to Jesus Christ. I thank God for your work of faith and your labor of love and your testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote about these Thessalonians. And then he said, I thank God that when the word came to you, it came in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance.
Amen.
You know, we got some confident people around this place.
Yeah.
I thank God for some confident people. Oh, some people say they're cocky. That's all right. Praise God. I can stand a little cockiness. I really can. I thank God for some confidence and assurance.
Amen.
That when the word of God came to you, it gave you some confidence and some power in the Holy Ghost and some assurance in that which you preach. Amen.
Amen.
Well, turn on over to chapter 2. Paul's still giving thanks. Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, Verling was teaching, I've got my classes and teaching each Tuesday and Thursday night, and Verling was teaching the ladies a bunch of the young ladies on marriage and the home and whatever for about 6 weeks. And she was riding home with me one night. We were talking about it, and we began to rejoice in the class that she had. She said, you know,
amen.
We've pastored churches. You know, we've been around a long time. We've been preaching the gospel just almost 30 years, over 29, in our 30th year of preaching the gospel, of testifying, of going into homes and dealing with people and families and people that are in trouble, you know. And so many times I've gone into a home and I say, this is what the Word of God said. I say, I don't care. I'm not going to do it. You know, that's too hard, or that's this, or that's that. You know, she was saying, you know, said, the ladies in this church, she said, Linda was just a blessing. So good, I just give them the Word, and they said, well, that looks hard, but I'm going to try. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to put that in effect.
Amen.
You know what? I'm thankful when I find somebody that receives the Word of God as the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, in this day, that's a rarity.
Yes.
I want you to know, church after church, even where they're born-again believers, I'm not talking about that bunch of lost multitude out there in supposed Christendom that doesn't know anything about the Lord. I'm talking about even when born-again believers, they don't know where the Word of God is. They wouldn't know it if they found it. They wouldn't know it if they had it in their hands. They don't have an authority. They won't accept it as an authority. I praise God for a church that accepts the Word of God as the Word of God. Amen. It is their authority. Amen?
Amen.
I praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
Well, let me move you on down another verse. Look over in chapter 5, verse 18.
Amen. Amen.
In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
In everything. Brother, in death or in life.
Amen.
Amen.
In success or in failure. When you're up and when you're down.
Amen.
When you've gained and when you've lost. When you got a bunch of brothers around you trying to lift you up, and when you're all by yourself. In everything. In everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I praise God for a Thanksgiving church. I praise God for a Thanksgiving people. I praise God that I can walk through the door and somebody say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His name.
Amen.
We ought to be a Thanksgiving people. You know, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ought to really learn that. I did that little chorus that we sing there about that rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Might ought to sing it here in a minute. Maybe we will if we get to the close of this, but in everything give thanks. I praise God for the thanksgiving I hear around here.
Amen.
So, I stand back at the door sometimes and greet people, and during a revival meeting, when Jack Woods was up here with us, he's preaching for us, and I stood back there and I said, how y'all doing? Praise the Lord. He said, Linville, I would never say that. I said, how come? He said, because some of my people would take 3 hours to tell me how they're doing. He said, man, said, how you doing? Oh, my back's bad. You don't know what troubles I've got. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. He said, I never get the people out the door. I laughed about that and I thought about it. You think about how many people have got a lot of complaints. Bless your heart. Keep your mouth shut about your complaints and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for your blessings.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It'll do you some good. It really will. It'll bless your heart. Now look at 2 Thessalonians. I can pick out a couple from there. Like I said, I sure haven't exhausted it. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or suitable, or proper, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other abound.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, I rejoice in growing faith.
Amen.
I look around at some people just in this room today and tonight or this Sunday. Some people are going out. They have a family in Oklahoma, New Mexico, Michigan, Canada. There's places all over. Some of them down in Austin and other places. I tell you what, people are visiting. Not everybody's here. But you know, I look around even in this room and I think, man, I thank God that your faith grows.
Amen.
I thank God to see the change in your life. I thank God to see the growth in your life. I thank God to be able to see you preach. Why, there's some people in here just preaching up a storm. And just wasn't a few years ago, they would open up their mouth without stuttering and stammering and shaking. And they'd stand up and read one verse. Not like this right here, you know. Am I right?
That's right.
Amen.
Praise God. I remember when Marty thought she never was going to learn Spanish. She probably still doesn't think she's going to learn Spanish. They start teaching the Word of God in Spanish.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. She makes a mistake every once in a while. That's all right. All of us do. Billy and Dale will do. Nell will do. Susan will, too. There are going to be some mistakes made. The best English teachers make mistakes in English. They've been speaking it all their life. What do you expect to do when you teach another language or you go into another language to preach the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and deal with the things of heaven with a third-grade vocabulary? I mean, you know, you've got some problems, right? But I thank God that your faith groweth exceedingly. They had an operation on me just this last week, and they went in there trying to find a heart and couldn't find one. I knew I could save the pictures, couldn't I? Amen. They tried to find one, but there wasn't. But you know, your faith has grown to where she can put up with me.
Amen.
I know it's hard. She still cries a few nights over me, but it's in all part of it. But bless God, her faith is growing, and I see some other faith growing.
Amen.
I see some people coming out and they say, praise God, I got something better.
Amen.
You know, look around this room and I see some faith that's grown. You know, I sit back and thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know, it was a blessing to me. I guess the hardest thing for me was when Eddie got a car. That was a real difficult time for me. That sounds terrible, but it's not that bad. He got a car, and then Eddie and Billy didn't want to go with the family anymore. They wanted to go on their own with their own car, with their own buddies, their own age. You know? I had a family, man. I had a great big family. We were a complete unit in ourselves. We went to the coast, the whole family went. We go to the mountains, the whole family goes. We go to Mexico, the whole family goes. We climb a volcano, the whole family goes, you know. We did everything together. And all of a sudden, I got a boy with a driver's license. Okay, let's head to the coast. I don't want to go, Dad. But I don't want to go, Dad. I don't want to go, Eddie. I mean, yeah. Hey, what do you mean you don't want to go? Man, I had a down year. I didn't quite know how to act. My family got destroyed. I'm not used to it now. I mean, they all don't want to go with me. That's all right. They're all about grown. None of them want to go with me. I sometimes can't even get Berlin to go anywhere with me. It's getting bad, man. I used to have a real unit, you know. In fact, she used to get mad if I walked out of the house without her. Boy, I'm going to go fishing with the boys. No, you're not. You're going with me. So I took her fishing. I took her hunting. I took her mountain climbing. She's 6 months pregnant with Dara. I'm climbing a volcano up a kite, helping her up, you know. She got that big load, you know, and I'm trying to shove her up this volcano. Good at the top. She went everywhere with me. She got so old and lazy. I said, I think I'll go fishing. Go ahead. No big deal. Nobody knows. Hey, you know, I'm thankful when I see my kids grow up. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I got some men and some women and some people with some responsibility, and they can go out and witness and testify, and they can read the Word of God, and they can handle themselves with bad doctrine, and they love the church and they love the Lord. I'm thankful when I see my children grow. Bless your heart, I'm thankful when I see the church grow.
Amen.
I'm thankful when I see somebody get saved a year or two ago, and man, all of a sudden they're quoting scripture and they're witnessing, they're bringing their friends and they're telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful when I see a go through some tough times that knock a lot of people out, and they ride on through it, and they cry a little bit, and they whine a little bit, and they pray a little bit, and they get up and keep on going. I say they're growing up. They're growing up. I'm thankful that their faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. I'm thankful that the love of God within you is abounding. And believe me, we wouldn't be here together if it weren't. You know, this is an unusual church. More ways than one. I mean, this is a motley crew. You take a look. I mean, this isn't exactly the who's who of San Antonio meeting here today. You understand? I mean, we got people with all, we got some wild backgrounds in here. If I told you all the stories I know, I'd make the hair curl on the back of your neck. I mean, some of it would grow and others would fall out. We got a group that's been brought together from so many different backgrounds. Man, we got deep Southerners that can't even say Lord right. We got these Michiganders haven't got enough sense to live down here in the South. You know, they keep going back up there. We got all sorts of people. We got every kind of thing. We got Yankees that are Connecticut Yankees. I mean, a Connecticut Yankee in San Antonio. Can you imagine such a thing? We got all sorts of people, and you know, our love about us.
Yes, amen.
You know what? We put up with each other for love. All this, sometimes some people stand up, and I know some would like to groan, but they don't. They say, praise God, amen. Praise God. Help him, Lord. Help her, Lord. Get him through it, Lord. Get him down, Lord. They got up now, Lord. Help them to get out, Lord. Hey, you know, but there's love there. There's love there, man. There's a care there. And when somebody makes a mistake, oh, I'll tell you, this place is pretty tough. They'll ride your heart. They'll ride your heart. I mean, there's no mercy around this place, but there's love. Oh, they're not going to overlook some things you got. Oh, they're going to dig you and gig you if they can. But they love you and they'll put up with you in spite of gigging you.
Amen.
Trying to help you grow and be a little bit better. I tell you, I'm thankful that your love groweth exceedingly.
Amen.
And aboundeth. And then if you look, there's another one over in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13.
Yeah, amen.
We're bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
Amen.
Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
Whereunto he calls you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You know what? We're going to be together for eternity.
Amen.
I mean, this isn't just a little fellowship for a short while.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, it's just beginning.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm bound to thank God for you, brother. Oh, we might be separated from 89 miles, I mean, you know, for most of our time, but we're going to be together forever.
Amen.
We may be separated from Lyon to San Antonio or Africa or Spain or Michigan or wherever. We're going to be together for eternity.
Amen.
I want you to know because God has chosen you from the beginning.
That's right.
To salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. How'd you get saved? God set you apart by His Holy Spirit and you believed His truth.
Amen.
Oh, I'm thankful. God, the Holy Spirit just sort of went in and He cuddled you out of the herd. He just reached inside and got a hold of you. He warmed you. He touched you. He got a hold of you. And He gave you the truth. One day you walked to the door and it said, wisdom and wisdom call, come in. You went in. And God, the Holy Spirit, gave you the truth. You believe that truth and were saved for all eternity.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Just like, you know, I used Proverbs last night of the two women calling. Same exact call. You simple ones. We're all simple. Just which door did you go in? Oh, I'm so thankful. The Holy Spirit called me through the door of wisdom and the Word of God. Called me through the door of salvation. Praise God. My life was changed. I was simple. I didn't know one from the other. I didn't have the expertise to divide all the religions up. I didn't have the expertise to divide all the philosophies up. I was out there in that mixed up, confused mess that's out there in all the world and most of the world's in today. But I heard wisdom calling one day of all the other calls I listened to. And one day I walked to the door of wisdom when she called you, and whoso is simple, let him come in. I walked through that door and forsook the foolish and took wisdom. My life changes made in my life. What a change has made in your life. I tell you what, I'm bound to thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of Spirit and believe the truth. I'm thankful that by His grace, He called you by the gospel. He called you by the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God convicted you. The Holy Spirit of God called you out from the herd and put you on the spot. The Holy Spirit of God put the truth right at you, put it at you so you could believe it.
Amen.
Oh, then, my friend, He called you by the gospel. Do you hear the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who hath the Son hath life. Praise God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He called you by the gospel.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm bound to thank God for you because you believe that gospel.
Amen.
I pray the
Lord's
blessing.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Let's sing 129.
First Corinthians 5:18. And everything you think, for this is the will of God in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus concerning you. Some of the things that we say it more than once, but that only underlines them and makes you stop and take notice. But you know, there really is a difference in not things, but in people. I stopped not too long ago and was considering my life and how good the Lord has been to me.
Amen.
And I got to wondering, well, I wonder if I really have it that much better than other people or not. You know, I got to considering, and I don't think there's that much difference in people's lives. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, there's some people that have all the bad luck and some people have all the good luck. I don't think that there's some people that God just blesses and blesses and blesses, and some He never does anything for at all. I think the difference is not so much in our circumstances,
amen,
but in their attitude.
Amen.
I remember, I'll never forget it. I don't know how much money I spent trying to get in. But anyway, while I was in Florida, I saw a sign, and it'll never leave me, that sign, President. Great, enormous sign on top of a donut shop, and it said, as you travel through life, brother, whatever be your goal, keep your eye on the donut, not upon the hole.
Amen.
Now, that's a simple philosophy, but you know, that's scriptural.
That's right, amen.
That's scriptural. You know, I talk to people all the time, and I say, everything you face. They say, well, I would if things were better.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that wouldn't be any problem, would it? If everything was going right, you wouldn't have any problem giving thanks.
Amen.
But that's not what Paul said. He said, in everything,
amen,
give thanks.
Amen.
You thank the Lord for the donut, forget about the hole.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, all of us have donuts. And all of us have holes. If you ever eat a donut, you had a donut with a hole in it. That's right. All of them have holes in them. But you know what? Most people never see the donut. They only see the hole. And life is filled with holes. Life is filled with all kinds of difficulties and problems. And that's why we can't give thanks, because we see what we don't have instead of seeing what we do have.
Right.
You know, I just would like to encourage you this coming year to start looking at the things that God's given.
Amen.
At the positive things. Look,
amen,
at the donut.
Amen.
Really, you can. I know you can. Many people have learned how to give thanks in everything.
That's right. That's right.
You can. I don't think that I'm an unusual person. But I've learned to give thanks to the Lord and everyone. I don't always feel thankful. Now, you know, he didn't say feel thankful. You notice that? He didn't say anything about feeling, did he? You know, feeling is a curse. I have come to believe with all of my heart that one of the things that has made Pentecostalism such a scourge upon our nation, upon the world, is because it deals with feelings.
Right.
And most people live by feelings.
Right.
And that's a curse. God never says anything in His Word about your feelings. You see, you can find anywhere where He promises you any kind of feelings. He doesn't promise that. And here He doesn't say, you know, feel thankful. He says, in everything give thanks.
Amen.
And there's a world of difference.
That's right.
You can't always feel thankful. You can't control your feelings, but you can control your attitude. Did you know that? In control. You can say, Lord, I thank you for this.
Yes, amen.
You may not feel thankful, but you can still thank the Lord for it. And you're not a hypocrite. That's what I had to learn. I had to learn that's not being a hypocrite. That's simply doing what God tells me to do. You know something else I'd like to share with you? A brother brought this out the other night. We were sharing about the being able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter which killeth, but of the Spirit, because, I mean, not of the letter, but because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And, you know, the letter kills. If we try to make you try to submit to some kind of law so that you've got from this day forward, you've got to say thank you to God for everything, it'll kill you. You may do it, but it'll kill you. And so we're not putting you under some kind of ordinance or legislation this morning by saying, you have to do this. This is the way of life. This is a way of life.
Amen.
Can you imagine a minister telling the young man as he gets married, now you've got to kiss your wife at least once a day? Now, he might do that in the beginning with joy. But if he is simply going by the letter, can you imagine after about 6 years? oh, I didn't kiss her, Dave. I've got to kiss her, you know. You know what? Nothing making a difference. I've just got to kiss her. But you know what? You don't have to say that to a young man, because if he has the love in his heart for his wife, that's going to be a natural thing. And so what we need to do is just get our attitude right with the Lord.
Amen.
And we will be able to thank the Lord.
Amen.
Not as a matter of legalism, not because we have to thank the Lord, but because this is the way of life.
Amen.
If you want life, start thanking God.
Amen.
If you want death, start looking at the hope.
Amen.
Let's sing this song.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16.
Everything give thanks.
Amen.
Rejoice evermore.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Pray without ceasing.
Jesus Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Number 2 in the supplement, please. Weeks ago today, that we weren't a worm, and we've never been a worm, and we never would be a worm.
Ooh.
And in Job 25, it says, how much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. And I was a worm, but praise the Lord in Psalms 51 verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Amen.
I'm not a messy little worm anymore because I'm in Him.
Amen.
And, you know, if you look at me, yes, I'm still a worm, but in Him, I'm
Amen.
Not a worm anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Hebrews chapter 10.
Amen.
Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exalting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
We can see the day approaching.
Amen.
It's plain to see.
Amen.
And there's some people that don't meet like we do. And we're not made to come. We come on our own.
Amen. Praise the
Lord.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, in the same chapter, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. You know, we use this verse in one of our women's meetings down in San Luis, you know, as how much provoking do we do, you know? Usually it's not good works. It's not the loving that works. You know, our provoking is usually the anger and bad things, right? And so we started a thing with the women, you know, let us provoke one another. You know, let's practice. What can we do to practice provoking one another to love? And so this is something really different for everybody, you know, because usually each of the wives, you know, they have their families and that's it, you know, I mean, and they've all shared, you know, that we've never really had friends, you know, since we've been married. We haven't had women friends, and especially sisters in the Lord, and, you know, so this is something hard. And so we started, you know, by drawing names, you know, where we have one special sister, you know, to show love to, for a two-month period or whatever. And, you know, the sisters are sharing now, you know, it's fun. It's love, you know. I mean, to try and think of ways to provoke the sister onto love, you know. Give her a little verse, you know. Send her a little praying for you. Or, you know, just little things like that. Just trying to provoke unto love and good works. And do something nice for somebody, even though it's a little hard for you at the time. And to me, it's a real blessing, you know. And we see the sisters growing. And we see the sisters caring for one another, you know. And it's all a process of now we started a visiting program too, you know, where some of the sisters will go visit the other sisters, you know, and one of the sisters always has an excuse for not coming, you know. So we use this verse on her, the next verse that the brother L just read, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And she was reading the verse and she says, oh, I'm one of those, aren't I? The Bible, I think, says costumbre, the custom of some is. And she just stopped right while she was reading it. And she says, yep, that sure does tell me. And, you know, she started coming. And to me, it's just a real blessing, you know. And I just give thanks to every one of you all who make it possible for us to reach out to these people. They are trusting the Lord, and their lives are changing, and they are growing in the Lord. And I'm just really thankful that I have a part in it, and that you all have made it possible.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to have some more sharp testimonies. Anybody? Somebody hadn't had a chance to give your testimony. Maybe Dale and I are too fast on the trigger and you don't get much chance.
Too long on the trigger.
Too long on the barrel.
He's awful small.
Right.
Well, you got your opportunity now.
That's it. Yeah.
How about over there in Psalms 34:8? Let's just read it. Let me read it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We've been around Psalms a lot here in the last few meetings. Amen. I missed last night because I had tasted so much over at Brother Dennis and Pam. I was so full and I couldn't, I went on home. And I stopped by old Clay because he wasn't feeling too good last night, and I took some of that blessing that the sister and brother had and gave it to him, and he was on nachos and peanut butter over there. So I think he also tasted of this great blessing that the Lord has given us, you know? And, yesterday, Eddie was talking about the blessing of salvation. Salvation has been a real theme around here, and I really thank the Lord for my salvation. I cannot brag too much about the backslidden state that I was in for about 17 years. And Lynn, I think, said he was saved in 1956, right, brother? 57. Okay, I beat you about 6 years. But in 1951, but after I got into college, I backslid for about 17 years, and I came back to the Lord in 1972. Right. And since that time, I've been growing.
Amen.
I'm probably the oldest Christian in here with diapers on. Okay.
Not literal.
Spiritual diapers. I thought you'd pick up on that, Mike. But anyway, Eddie was talking about the salvation. He was so thankful and for that grace that the Lord poured out to him.
Amen.
And he also was talking about the family that he was so blessed with, you know. Well, I cannot identify with you Kincaids and you West. There's just no way, you know. As far as family, I'm down to the Lord, me and my dog, and I don't even have a dog. But all I've got is Him, you know, and that's all I need, you know.
Amen.
And I am so thankful for that grace and that salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. And the eternal security that you were talking about yesterday, Samuel, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful promise. And for those who don't have it, it's such a, you know, they're in a quagmire. And so I just praise God for His salvation, for His eternal security, and for the family that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only one that really counts. It's the only one that's going to last. It's the only one that's going to endure. It's going to last forever.
Amen.
And I can't even conceive of that, you know. It's beyond my comprehension. My little mind is about like a peanut. Don't say anything, Mike. But anyway, we have a new brother.
We love you, brother.
We have a new brother in the Lord here.
Amen. That,
I don't know if you've met Keith James or not, but if you haven't, get around and give him a hug. And,
amen.
Because it was last Saturday night. We were all down at the mission down here, and Brian was preaching, and he came up afterwards and he said, man, I appreciate the message, you know. And so we asked him, I said, are you saved? And he said, well, I'm working on it. If I misquote you, you just feel free to correct me. He says, I'm working on it. So that's kind of like throwing out a steak to a junkyard dog.
Right?
Something like that, you know, because you know pretty well where they're standing. They're not standing in eternal security,
that's
for
right.
one thing.
Amen.
And we don't know about salvation, but Clay went and got him aside, counseled him for about 15 minutes. He came out as a newborn. And so he just rejoiced in that salvation. Now he knows. And the beautiful thing about this whole thing in the last few days has been the emphasis upon salvation and eternal security thing. And it's really spoken to Keith. And I'm sure it's really blessed him, because it's blessed me to hear how the body of Christ works in securing him in his faith.
Amen.
So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
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 Praise you.
Look at
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Talk about Wendy. I'm telling you. Yeah,
keep it brief. Where's Wendy? She was here. Are you through?
Are you ready to sit down and let somebody else talk? I mean,
cutthroat, man.
Stand up, Joey.
kind of threw that one.
It was the Gene.
It's right here.
Don't you miss it?
Don't pick on the junkyard dog. I'm mad that I can
It says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your brother Ron was talking about having nothing else but the Lord, you know, on his side, and nobody else to turn to, you know, to be with. And you know, it says here that he's the same yesterday and forever. I was just thinking about family and friends and brothers and sisters, and you can't always count on your family. You can't always count on a brother. I mean, you can only count on your wife. I'm serious. I mean,
you blew it, boy. I got a nice cozy doghouse.
You better sit down while you're here.
You don't want to be lifted up. You can't always count on a brother or sister.
That's right.
You want to be encouraged. You can't always count on coming home because your wife might be in the same state you are. You go home and she might have burned the supper. She might have had a bad day. Her kids might have come in the house and give a hard time. And you can't always count on your brother and sister lifting you up. But it says here that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and same.
Hallelujah, man.
And I'm thankful that I have a friend. I have the Lord Jesus who is there to comfort me whenever I need it.
Amen.
He's there. He never changes. He's always there to help me out, to lift me up, to comfort me. And I don't have to worry about, well, you know, like a doctor. Well, are you in your office today? You know, I have to worry about if he's willing to help me or not. He's always there. He's always the same. He's always willing to help. Always willing to cheer me up and to lift me up. And so I'm thankful. Like you said, brother, you don't have a family. That's fine, because the Lord is the best thing you can have.
Amen.
The Lord's the best thing you can have. The best brother, the best sister, the best wife you can have. He's always there to comfort you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Where is that verse that says, does anybody recall it, that says we have a friend closer than a brother?
There is a friend that
thinketh
you guess there's someone more here?
No. I just wondered for my own reference.
Is there someone else that hasn't had much of a chance to share and you'd like to share something, not give a testimony? Anyone that hasn't had much opportunity, and we've all stood up, all of us that stand up often, we've taken your place. Anyone?
I got something.
Amen.
Psalms 119. Verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I was afraid. I'm thankful for the Lord this past year. Really, most of my salvation is that's been the emphasis in these meetings of God's saving grace. But, you know, I'm also thankful for a lot of things, you know, for wife, family, and children, and the brethren. But also, I'm thankful for the Lord's faithfulness to me. You know, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And sometimes it's sad, you know, but it's true that sometimes God's got to afflict us with some everyday problems or maybe big-time problems in our lives. But the simple fact is we're astray. You know, it's the saddest thing for a Christian, I think, as I've been looking back at the past couple of days and this verse came to me, is for a Christian to be out alone, out on the hills and the mountains, away from the shepherd. You know, a Christian needs a shepherd. We're designed, we're made, when we get saved, we're designed to have a Lord over our
life.
We're designed to have to be a servant and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not fulfilling that part in our life, we're miserable. We're just like a sheep that's gone away from the shepherd. He's out in the mountains. He's crying out for his Lord, but he doesn't know how to get back. And I thank the Lord that I'm better off being afflicted. And you're off better being afflicted.
Amen.
Yet right where God wants you to be, you know, under the chastening hand of God. It seems grievous, but I tell you what. You know, in due time, it brings forth fruit, the Bible says. And it's a joy. And, you know, sometimes I'd like to, and I've had in my Christian life, I've been afflicted for the gospel's sake, and that's a good thing. But I was just thankful for the Lord. I said, Lord, it's just a good thing for me to be afflicted. That's what David said. He went back in verse 71. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And I want every one of us, you know, every one of us, whether you're being honest or not, that you've been afflicted this last year, maybe not for the gospel's sake, just for your own sin.
And I thought about home. It's you know, you read about the prodigal son when he came back to his father. You know, that's the best time. He's coming back to the father, coming back under his chastening hand, getting right where you ought to be. You know what? You say, oh, it's good to be at dad's house. It's good to hear the music in dad's house. It's good to be with my brethren. It's good to see the fatty calf and eating this good lamb. I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for his chastening hand. I really do. I thank the Lord for that. You know, the affliction may not be over in our lives. The thing is, I know that I'm better off being with my Father who loves me,
amen,
cares me. And that's the best thing we need to know, maybe if we have a bitter spirit, is to know that God does best for us.
Amen.
He knows best for us.
Amen, that's right.
And he's taking care of us.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord that he's shown me, you know, I don't want to have a bitter spirit whatever comes my way, you know. Amen. I want to just say, Lord, I'm glad to be in your house, Lord. I'm glad to be under your hand, Lord. I'm glad for you directing my life, Lord. And what you've given me, Lord, it's good just to be in your house, Father.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that verse.
Amen.
You know, Tim, as you're saying, you know, the Lord knows what's best for us, you know, even when we don't know that the Lord is seeking us, you know, we don't realize that he is seeking for us, and we're just there, you know, not realizing that we're actually in his will. And brings to my testimony what I remembered all my life, you know, I always wanted to live for the Lord, but there was just, I couldn't, you know, because I couldn't do it myself, and that's what I was trying to do, was just to live for the Lord. I was trying to lead a good life, I thought, which was the way the Lord wanted us to be. And I would go to church, and, you know, I knew all the things that you're supposed to say. I knew about salvation, but I didn't quite understand it. You know, in the denomination where I was at, they taught it, but they didn't really... How can I explain? They didn't give you the basis. They didn't exactly come out and tell you exactly how to be saved. You know, and it just didn't come to me until later on in life. But, you know, all my life, the Lord, we never went to church. We never went to, when I was younger, we never went to church because we had other things. I was a baton twirler, and so we were gone on weekends. And I was also, my parents had a cabin and a boat, so we would be off to the lake on the weekends. And what I didn't realize, what the Lord was working even then, you know, he took away my baton twirling. I was in a bad car accident when I was in junior high, and it tore all the ligaments in my leg. And I didn't realize it then, but the Lord had taken that away, because then I couldn't go to baton contests anymore on weekends. And then later, because my father decided he would get rid of the cabin and the boat because my grandmother couldn't go. He didn't have to get rid of it for my grandmother. He could have kept it. But then that left us home on weekends. And we had no other place to go, so... And my parents said, yeah, that's a good thing. You need to go. So they'd stick me on a church bus and I'd go. You know, and then I'd come back home. But it wasn't nothing. But even then, the Lord was working in my life, you know. And I could see that as after I'd gotten saved. And I was still going to church, and I even went to be a missionary, a home missionary in New York. And even then, I mean, I tried to lead people to the Lord, but it was still upon my own word, you know, upon what I was thinking. I knew what, I showed them the verses, all the salvation verses, but I didn't quite have it yet then. I still had doubts, even in myself. It's hard to understand. I can't believe I did it then, you know. I can't understand how I did, you know. It just doesn't click, you know. How could I have tried to do that in myself and yet know the verses for salvation, know the verses, and still try to give somebody else the verses, you know? But, not until 82 did I come, when I came here, the Lord led me down here to San Antonio, and I saw the truth of it, you know. And I praise the Lord that I'm here in the meetings where there is, we've been hearing about wisdom and the men here that are wise. And it's true, the men truly are wise. And they have, but it's not because of them, it's because of the Lord.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for raising these men up here to give others the truth.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Psalms 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good mercy and endures forever."
Amen. Amen.
Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I've been redeemed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm just thankful, and I'm just thankful for friends, especially for one friend that was a faithful witness in high school and just passed out gospel tracts and just stood strong for the Lord.
Amen.
And I can remember this one friend, he was in my geometry class, and I thought it was kind of weird. He hadn't stayed very long, and I suppose not, but he had hair down, I guess about down to here, and he sat right in front of me, like where Brother Dale's sitting, and almost every day he would say something about the Lord, and he would always give me gospel tracts, these little chick tracts. And at that time, you know, I asked him, Adrian, what are you? And, you gotta be a Catholic, you gotta be a Baptist, you gotta be something. He says, I'm just a Christian. He says, and I couldn't figure that out. And he says, well, look, Adrian, I'm a Catholic. And there's other persons are Baptists or, you know, what religion are you? And I was trying to get,
you gotta be something.
He says, no, I'm just a Christian. And I'm just thankful that he was a faithful witness.
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful for his brother, Tony, and Art, and just them constantly being a witness in high school. And I would see him carry the Bible in high school, and I'd see him coming, and I was, oh, no. he would take time out, you know, during lunchtime or whatever breaks he had, and he would sit down, and he'd read me some verses.
Amen.
And he would always give me gospel tracts, and then I remember the very first time he took me to church. It was during a revival meeting, and I believe it was in the town east. And it was the very first time I ever went to church, other than a Catholic. And boy, I was in for a shock. Dave Jones was there.
Oh, man.
I went there, before I went, and I was kind of nervous about going. Never went anywhere else besides the Catholic Church. And I remember I told Adrian and Tony, I said, okay, I won't sit there, but I won't sit towards the back, and if I don't like it, I'm just going to, you know, go. I borrowed my dad's pickup truck, and so we went. And Tony sat here, and Adrian sat on one side, and I sat right here.
Didn't let you leave.
And I tell you what, I didn't want to leave. I tell you because when Dave Jones was preaching that night, and he was talking about people, you know, getting up and leaving.
I can believe it.
One thing that stuck in my mind, he was saying about, I guess, two or three teenagers that he knew that got up and left and were in a car wreck, you know, and after the service, and one of them was killed, and that stuck in my mind. There's no way I'm going to leave here. I guess that was about the first time that I ever went anywhere to church besides Catholic. And I tell you, I don't know how anybody can listen, you know, to the gospel and not leave there, you know, without calling the Lord and
asking
to be saved.
Praise the Lord.
And I can remember going up to the altar and asking to save me. And I remember many times going up to the altar and asking the Lord to save me. Just like Brother Dale was saying something yesterday about being sold on insurance policy. And how, well, I remember many times going to many services and I hear the preacher preaching and he sold me. I'm lost. I'm going. I'm get saved. Amen. and I remember someone said something yesterday. I can remember who said, but said something about you have to just thrust your whole soul in on the Word of God and just believe it no matter what. And then one day I did that, and
hallelujah.
I didn't have any more doubts.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good and for his mercy and good forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm redeemed.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For his mercy and good forever.
Thank you.
Anybody else with a word of testimony for me?
Everything has breath.
Praise the Lord.
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 Pra
Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Sing.